This is the story of a man named Noah and his family and the first rainbow. Noah was building something that had everyone puzzled. It looked like a boat, but there was not even a stream nearby, not a brook or a lake or a pond. The only water anyone could see was in the well, and yet obviously this thing he was building was some kind of a boat. The people whispered among themselves, "The old man is crazy. He's lost his mind." Then they looked behind the house, and as far as the eye could see and the nose could smell, the fields were filled with animals and birds. In cages, in houses, in barns, and behind fences, animals were braying and bleating and snorting and growling and roaring and cooing and twittering and snuffling, and scurrying among them with their arms full of food were the old man's wife and her three daughters-in-law, back and forth, feeding and watering each one all day. "Oh, those poor women," said the people from town. "Where in the world did all the animals come from, and why?" Then the bravest of them, swaggering a little, went to ask the old man himself. They found him under a fig tree, eating his noonday bread and cheese. "Noah," they said, "what nonsense is this, building a boat on dry land and collecting the beasts of the wild?" Noah looked at them gravely over his cloud-white beard, and he said very quietly, "God spoke to me. He said that the world was full of evil and wickedness of men. He said that he would destroy man because he was sorry he had ever made man, and he would destroy all the living things on the earth and save only a few. And with those few, he would start again." The men snorted with nasty cackles of laughter. Destroy us? Because we are evil? And how will God do this, Noah? Tell us that, Noah." And Noah said, "He will bring a flood and cover the whole earth. And that is why he told me to build this boat, which is called an ark. He told me exactly how to build it, and in it I am to put two of each wild animal and seven of each of those animals which men use, and keep them safe while all other things are destroyed." Well, when the men heard this, they laughed again. "Noah, oh, Noah, you're crazy," said one. "You're always working as if work were important. You don't have any fun. You're always worrying about being good and just and pure, whatever that means. No wonder you're losing your mind." Then another one said, "Who cares about your God?" Now the truth was that in their souls there was no room for God. And so they turned and walked away from Noah and took their wives and children with them and spat on the ark. Under the fig tree, Noah wept. "I will destroy man from the face of the earth and the evil he has made." God had said that, and Noah understood why. And so the months passed into years, and still Noah and his family worked, collecting the animals, caring for them, and building the ark. Time did not mean much to Noah, for he had already seen more than 500 birthdays, and he could expect to live many more years. His grandfather, after all, was Methuselah, the oldest man in the world. He had lived to see 969. Building the ark was no easy task. According to God's directions, it was to be 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high, with three stories or decks in it and many little rooms. That would make the ark about half as big as the liner Queen Mary today. And there were only Noah and his three sons to build it, in time they could spare from their ordinary daily chores. And the zoo, cows, lambs, chickens, well, these anyone could handle. But Noah's wife and his three daughters-in-law must also nurse elephants and lions, scorpions, spiders, caterpillars, mice, cats, even snakes, and all the other kinds of animals of the world. And in all those hard, lonely, tiring years, they heard no more the voice of God. More than once, the little family was tempted to forget the whole idea of the ark and turn loose the squalling, restless, smelly animals and live again in peace like ordinary folk. But each morning and each night, they prayed to the silent God, and each day they worked again until at last the ark was finished and Noah was 600 years old. Then one night from the moon-washed wind came the voice of God. Noah, go into the ark, you and your family, for I have seen that of all men living, you are the only ones who are good and true to your God. Take the animals with you, and after 7 days I will rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy everything else I have made from the face of the earth. The next morning Noah led them into the ark, the parade of animals and birds and creeping things first, and then his family with all their necessary belongings. The sun shone brilliantly. Not a cloud could be seen, and the men and women of the town stood around the ark pointing their fingers and howling with laughter. "Where's your flood, Noah?" they called. "Tell me, old man, are you seasick here on dry land? Somebody give Noah a jug of well water to float his ship." Noah tried to make them understand. He begged them to turn from evil and not to offend God any longer with their lies and their filth and their stealing and their blasphemy of their tongues. But they wouldn't listen, and they wouldn't believe. Soon the sky clouded. By midday, thunder rolled. Noah closed the windows and the door of the ark. Still the men and women laughed outside. Then the rain came. Gently, then harder. A silver-gray rain of death, a drizzle becoming a downpour, and then a torrent, steady, purposeful, relentless as the hand of God. Rain, and then suddenly, unseen in the blinding fall of the floodgates of heaven, the waters of the seas broke forth, coiling up from the land and loosing the fountains of the deep. And the earth was covered, lost in the cleansing fury of the waters. 40 days and 40 nights the rain fell, water falling from above, water rising from below, washing over even the highest mountains of earth. And the black, wet sky met the wild blackness of the waves, and there was nothing but darkness and death on earth. But inside the ark there was warmth and life and the love of God in the hearts of the chosen ones, of Noah and his family. "Outside of us, no one lives in the whole world," said Noah's wife sadly. "It's a lonesome thought and a fearsome one." Noah replied, "God has chosen us to build a new world, and I pray God helps us to stay close to Him and to make a good world." On the 41st day, the rain no longer beat on the roof of the ark. Noah opened the window, and under the sullen, swollen sky stretched an ocean without a shore, endless and gray. Day after day, the ark drifted with its animals and its 8 living souls, without land or star to steer by, and nowhere to go. 150 days, 5 months, that's how long the ark drifted. Then a wind rose and blew its strong breath upon the waters, and slowly they grew less. Inside the ark, the birds fluttered and beat their wings against their cages. The elephants trumpeted and the lions paced restlessly, while the spiders spun their webs and the frogs hopped back and forth. The piles of hay and grain and meat for the animals grew lower day by day. Then one day a cry burst from Noah's lips as he looked out of the window. "Land! Land! See a mountaintop there above the waves!" But only the barest tips of rock showed above the waters. And again the little family must wait and calm the panting animals and stretch the little food supply. 40 more days passed. Then Noah chose a raven with strong black wings, and opening the window, he sent the raven to scout for dry land. The raven never came back. A week later, Noah chose a gentle white dove and sent her out over the waters. But at evening, the dove returned, for she had not found one place to rest on the whole watery earth. 7 more days he waited before he sent the dove out again. Off she flew into the sky, far, far out of sight. Then suddenly, wondrously, she came back, and in her beak she carried a joyous sign, an olive branch, living and in leaf. "God be praised," cried Noah. And soon a grating rumble shook the ark, and the flat bottom came to rest on the earth, and the waters dried up, and the flood was over. And as Noah peered out of the window, he found the ark had come to rest on a high peak, the top of Mount Ararat, which is in the land we today call Turkey. And the voice of God came clear in the morning wind, telling Noah to go down out of the ark and go upon the earth and people it. And so the family stepped again down onto solid ground for the first time in more than a year. The earth was new, fresh, clean after its baptism of the flood. Brave new grass grew on the hillsides. The buds of the new spring covered the trees. The air was sweet and clean as dawn. And Noah opened the rooms of the ark, and in a flurry and a flutter and a whirring of wings, the birds burst forth, nightingales and eagles, sparrows and larks, singing a welcome to the blue sky, and hurrying and stampeding, frisking and bounding, the animals tumbled out, eager to adventure into this new world. Down the mountainsides they went. Noah's first act was to build an altar to God and give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And God blessed Noah and his sons and spoke to them. Never again will I curse the earth because man is evil. The days of the earth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day shall not cease. Behold, I will make a covenant with you, a promise to you and to all men who shall live after you. Never again a flood will lay waste to the earth. God's voice grew gentler, closer to the green-cloaked earth than to the 8 men and women who were to people it. And he said, "This is the sign of the covenant, the sign of my promise which I give to you and to all living souls. I will set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign. And when I shall cover the sky with clouds, my bow shall appear in the clouds, and I shall remember. And there shall no more be waters of a flood to destroy all flesh." And suddenly God flung his rainbow across the sky, arched high from heaven to earth, sparkling in wondrous color, the promise of God's love for man. Noah looked up to see the bridge of light, and tears of joy filled his eyes. "A promise forever," he whispered as his long white beard flew in the bright new breeze. Well, thousands of years have passed since that day. Noah and his sons' sons traveled across the face of the earth and peopled it with God's blessing. And still to this day, God's rainbow shines in the skies, the silent, glowing promise, the bridge of glory between heaven and earth.